I would like for you to turn to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 3. Luke, chapter 3. The Gospel of Luke is one of the Gospels that brings out one of the important aspects of the life of Christ. To be honest with you, it would be the Gospel of Luke that would bring out the humanity of Christ. The humanity of Christ. All the four Gospels have different emphasis on them. For instance, Matthew would bring out Christ the King. Mark would bring out Christ the Servant. Luke, Christ the Man. And John, Christ is God. I want to share with you a message that the Lord placed upon my heart. I've been studying about the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our day. Our generation needs a move of the Holy Spirit like no generation has before. But with that moving of the Holy Spirit, there is going to be a drawing to the person of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never exalt himself. He will exalt the name of Jesus. He will bring us to a greater awareness of Christ and who we are in him, giving us freedom in the person of Jesus Christ. But I want to share with you a message that he's placed upon my heart today. Let's read the scripture beginning in chapter 3, verse 15, and it says this. And the people were in expectation, and everyone reflected in their hearts upon John. This is John the Baptist, and I'm reading from the Modern English Version. Whether he might be the Christ or not. And so John answered them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, the strings of whose shoes I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor and will gather the wheat into his granary, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then he preached many other things in his exhortation to the people. We will stop there. But let's read verse 16 again. It says, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, the strings of whose shoes I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I want to speak with you today on the Holy Spirit and his threshing floor. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me to bring forth your word with clarity and yet with simplicity. For Lord, you are speaking through your word to us today. Hide me behind your cross and let Jesus alone be exalted. We give you this time, we give you this word, and we ask that you would speak through it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. At this portion of scripture, or at this time that this portion of scripture is presenting to us, John the Baptist was called of God to preach the baptism of repentance there in the Judean wilderness. He would baptize many of those repentant sinners as they would come to him sincerely repenting of their sins, and he would baptize them in water. But as there is seen in this scripture that we have just read, there was an expectation in the hearts of the people in that day, an expectation that the Christ would soon make his arrival there in Israel. There was such a strong expectation that when they heard John the Baptist preaching with the unction and the fire that he was preaching with, they began to question in their minds and wonder, is this the Christ? Is John the Baptist the promised deliverer of Israel? Is he the Messiah, the anointed one? But as the chatter was going around, and I'm sure that John the Baptist heard from many of his disciples, people were wondering, are you the Christ? John the Baptist would answer all of their questions and say with clarity, I indeed baptize you with water, but there is one mightier than me. There is one mightier than I that is coming, the strings of whose shoes I am not worthy to untie. He, the one that is coming, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so John the Baptist would declare with this clarion voice to the masses that he was not the promised Messiah. As we would read in the other gospel accounts, he would say, I am one that is preparing the way for him. And so John would say something very important to the coming ministry of the Messiah. You see, Jesus Christ would come to do something more important than that of John. For the new covenant, the message of the kingdom of God would be a message of power. And he would say, I baptize you with water, but the one that is coming, the Messiah, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And as my version says, and with fire. The actual Greek text doesn't say with fire. It actually says, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And what this begins to bring to us, it confronts us with this question. If Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, have we been baptized with the Holy Spirit? For you see, Jesus came to preach the gospel to those that would hear. He would proclaim the truth of the kingdom of God to those that would sit and listen, sometimes in droves, at other times in small circles. But Jesus would proclaim the gospel, the message of the kingdom of God to many, and many would serve and follow Jesus throughout his whole ministry here on the earth. 12 of them would lay down their lives, would sleep where he slept, would literally eat where he ate. They would leave father and mother and follow Jesus. Some of them would try to follow Jesus, and he would tell them, look, their foxes have holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, to show the reality of the price, the cost that it would be to follow Jesus. You see, if you want to be comfortable and if you want to just have a home and never be troubled and do this, you've got to understand if you follow me, there may be times that you don't have a soft pillow to lay your head upon. To follow Jesus wholeheartedly will come with price, and he's expressing that to some that would want to follow him. One of the gentlemen would say, well, let me bury my father first. And Jesus would respond, well, let the dead bury their dead. But Jesus was bringing out a point. You see, when the man was saying, let me bury my father first, his father was still young and had many years to live. He was making an excuse, I'll follow you later, I don't want to follow you now. But Jesus is bringing out the importance of the call and the importance of following him with all of one's heart. And so Jesus was saying, in essence, during this or what John was bringing out here was that Jesus was coming not to baptize with water per se, but ultimately to call people into a relationship with him that would be so intimate and so real and so passionate that that baptism in the Holy Spirit would bring forth such a passion for Jesus that it would be like a fire burning within them. But there has been much debate, I'm going to be honest with you, as far as this flame. There have been some that have said that when Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Spirit, it didn't mean to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Some have argued and tried to say that the fire only speaks of God's judgment. And because we as God's children are not allotted to his judgment, but into his forgiveness and into his household, why would God judge us? But the interesting thing about this fire is this, is that it applies to both. This fire of the Holy Spirit applies to you as a believer, and it applies to those that are unbelievers. The judgment of God will come. There will not be a human alive that will escape it. We will all be judged. But if you're born again as a child of the living God, your judgment has already come and has been dealt with in the person of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? But the unbeliever, if they will choose to deny Christ and not receive him, they will one day stand before God's judgment bar condemned. For every man will stand before God and give an account of his life. And that account will ultimately resonate with, what did you do with Jesus? The world will stand before God, saved or condemned, and it will all revolve around, what did you do with Jesus? For you see, there's only one Savior. There is only one way to be cleansed of our sin. There's only one door to enter into the kingdom of God. There's only one road that leads to life and not to destruction. And the question will be asked, what have we done with Jesus? And then this morning, as God's Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts, you will have to answer that question, for the preacher can't ask it for you, can't answer for you. I can't even answer for my own children. Amen. What have you done with Jesus will be the criteria. John told the people, I am not the Messiah, but there is one mightier than me that is coming, whose shoes I'm not even able to untie. He is so above me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the scripture goes on to say, his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. If you have a King James Version, it says, he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his granary, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, the story brings to mind something very important that we must all understand. In those days of antiquity, they didn't have the modern columbines that we see. You know, now as we drive through the valley, we see the harvesters getting ready to plant their seed, planting their seed. Even they're seeding the potatoes right now, right? They're getting the fields ready for harvest. And as we all know, come the fall, the harvest time, these big, huge machines will go and cut it. They'll bring in the harvest. I mean, where it used to take thousands of men to do it, now with one machine, it takes over a field in a day. It's amazing what these columbines can do. But in those days, they would gather the wheat from the fields and they would cut them with their knives and they would put them into bushels. And they had what were called threshing floors. And the threshing floor was a huge piece of rock. And it was a rough rock. It was not smooth, but it was real rough. And they would straw all of the hay, all of the wheat, over this threshing floor, a huge rocky piece. And what the harvester would do was they would get their oxen, their yoke of oxen, and they would tie them together and they would begin to run over all of the wheat. And as you can imagine, the hard, rocky floor and then the wheels and the feet of these oxen walking over this grain or over the wheat would begin to crush and begin to break the wheat. And as it would break the wheat, and they would go round and round and break the wheat, and it would break the chaff from the pure wheat. Then what they would do is the man that was going to harvest it, or the men, plural, would have what was called a fan. Now, in our minds, we think of a fan as maybe something one of the Chinese would have, right? Kind of cool themselves down. You go to a Chinese restaurant, sometimes they give you a little paper fan. Anybody got one of those before? So it's not talking about a fan that blows air. It's not talking about a fan that we turn on now. It's getting hotter in our houses, right? But it was a fan was like a fork or like what do you call those things? It's like a rake of sorts. It's like a three-pronged, four-pronged thing, and it fanned out. And they would gather the wheat from underneath. You see, they would get the oxen off. It would be crushed there. And they would wait for the windy days to blow. And when it was a windy day, they would put that fan and get it underneath, almost like a pitchfork. And they would get the wheat that was crushed, and they would throw it into the air. And because the wind was blowing, all of the chaff and all of the light wheat that has no weight to it would be blown to the side, and all that would fall down was the pure wheat. And so that man would be there throwing the stuff in the air as the wind is blowing. And the wind's purpose was to blow the chaff. And all of the chaff would be compounded, would begin to be piled to the side. And there would be left the pure wheat here, because it was weighty, but all the chaff to the other side where the wind blew it into a pile. And so here, in light of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life, we desire a near and a close walk to God. Amen. I believe every true child of God wants to draw near to God with all of their hearts. I want to know you more. And because the Holy Spirit has come into our lives, He is going to begin a work in us that's going to purify us. I don't believe a child of God will be able to go through their lives without a purification process. If they're really born again, God's Holy Spirit is going to do a work of purification in their lives. Amen. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit, and one of the symbols that symbolize Him, is fire. And so we hear this from John the Baptist, that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then he emphasizes it by talking about the fan that is in his hand. And it says he will thoroughly cleanse his floor. The King James, purge his floor. Another version, purify the floor. And what he's talking about is the work of the Holy Spirit in your and my life. That He will take your life as a child of God, and He will begin to purify you, and He's going to begin to deal with areas of our life, with attitudes, with worldliness, with desires that are not good, and He wants to change them into those things that are good. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes it's not going to be easy to be purified. Can anybody say amen to that? You can imagine yourself to be one of those stalks of wheat, and all of a sudden, that thing is running all over you. It's not going to feel any good. Amen? But God will bring us through trial. He's going to bring us through scenarios to purify us and to make us more like Jesus. Ultimately, to remove the chaff. But what's interesting about this is that this separation is not only going to occur in you as a child of God, in that God's going to make you more pure. God, through His Holy Spirit, is also separating a people unto Himself. And those that will choose Jesus are the wheat. But those that will reject Jesus in their lives and turn from Him and not receive Him as Savior are like the chaff that is blown by the wind. For it says, His fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly cleanse His threshing floor. And He will gather the wheat into His granary, but He will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. What John the Baptist is saying here is strong language. It's really not an easy message to hear, for it does speak of judgment. But I'm here to tell you that when we have chosen Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is going to work on us and make us more pure. He's going to make us more like Jesus. Amen? When He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, He's going to do a purifying in our lives. He's going to fill us with His power. He's going to fill us with a zeal, with a fire that burns for the things of God. Yes, an enthusiasm, a joy, a fire that can't be quenched. Amen. We need more of that Holy Ghost fire in our churches. I'm not talking about a preacher yelling fire all the time. I'm talking about a real experience with Almighty God, that they are set aflame for the things of God, that they live for Jesus, that they die for Jesus. I'm talking about a passion for the things of God that is burning like a flame. I'm talking about a flame that even John Wesley described, where he prayed, "Lord, set me on fire and let the people watch me burn." We need to see a people that love the things of God, that can't help but live for God. A passion that is real. A passion that is actually even attractive to others. That kind of fire, oh God, baptize us afresh with the Holy Spirit and fire. Give us a fresh burning for the things of God. A fresh boldness to proclaim the gospel, to live the gospel for others to see. Lord, if that means to speak with other tongues, then give me tongues, but give me the fire of the living God. But that same fire of the Holy Spirit is going to be used of God to bring judgment upon those that will reject the gospel. And the scripture gives this dark scenario where it says, the wheat will be gathered into his garner or granary, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And this unquenchable fire, this flame that will never die, is describing eternal judgment and eternal hellfire. It's not something that is just going to burn for a season. It's not talking about the eradicating of the human soul that is eternal. You see, there are some in our cults that would tell us that hell is not really eternal. It's only going to last for a little while. But this fire of judgment is an eternal flame. It's going to be a flame that will burn forever and forever. And the fact is that God has made a way out for everyone. And it's sad that so many will miss that choosing. It is really sad. I was telling the Sunday school class a little bit earlier, my own questioning, my own reasonings with God after hearing about a classmate that recently died and was part of what I consider a Christian cult. And to think of the deception that is in the world, the eyes that are blind by the deceiver himself, and to think the many that are going to that eternal pit, and to think that all that was necessary to escape it was Jesus Christ himself. That all that was necessary was to receive Jesus and to give their lives to him. You see, but we're living where there is an enemy, a liar. And he paints this picture to our young people and to those in the world that to serve God is the most boring existence on the planet. That to serve God means you have to wear a white shirt and black pants to church. That you have just a kind of existence, but there's no fun. There's no enjoyment of life. And I'm here to say that is a lie from the pit of hell. To serve God, there is freedom and liberty. There is peace and there is true and lasting joy. There is the eradication of bondage and there is reason for living. This world is lying to people. It is painting a wrong picture and it's going to send them straight to hell if they don't hear the message and the truth of eternal judgment. But the Holy Spirit will bring forth the truth of Jesus. That's why we as a church need to pray for more of the Holy Spirit in our churches. Amen. For more of the Holy Spirit flowing through me and through you as individuals, impacting our homes, impacting those that sit in the desk next to us at work, those that are neighbors to us, that they would understand the truth of the gospel. Jesus said, "The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come," he said, "to give you life and life in abundance." That is the truth. Solomon said at the close of his life, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." He said, "The rest is all vanity." And so when John the Baptist brought out the truth of this baptism, I'm here to tell you, as a child of God, that God wants to fill you with a fire and a flame for him that is beautiful. I'm telling you, a relationship with God that is vibrant, that is real, an experience that can change the rest of your life, being baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. But I'm also here to proclaim to those that have never given Jesus that chance, that fire will also bring judgment. This isn't only for this church. We put these sermons online for those that are even listening around the world. We must choose Jesus now. Amen? And He's going to give you a life that will be beautiful. Give Him that chance. Amen? If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, seek God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our own children, how much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? He wants to fill you to overflowing. Seek God for that baptism. But also know, He's going to do a work of purging in your life. He's going to make you pure wheat. Amen. He's going to eradicate the chaff. That's the hard stuff. That's the stuff that's of no value. He will get it out. Sometimes it's going to feel like an oxen is running over you. But believe it or not, it's the work of God in you. Praise God. He's doing a work. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. The Holy Spirit in this threshing floor. We're going to say a prayer together. I'm just going to have two parts in it. First, I want us to pray for those that have never received Jesus, that they would soon come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have family members, don't we, that need Jesus. Brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, grandparents, some of them need Jesus. So we want to pray that God will fill us with such Holy Ghost fire and zeal that the fire of God will flow through us and impact their lives. Amen? That those that are unsaved will come to Jesus, and that they will understand that there is a judgment coming and that they will turn now before it's too late. Amen? But I also want to pray for every one of us in this room that are desirous of more of that zeal of God in our hearts, that fire, that flame, that you have that prayer like John Wesley, Lord, set me on fire so that the people can watch me burn. I want us to pray for that as well. Amen? And then after that, we're going to partake of communion together. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we as a church acknowledge our need for more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we do know, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has made His residence within our hearts. Lord, He is not out there, Lord God, in the heavens. Lord, rather, He dwells right here. He's here in our midst. For Lord, on that day of Pentecost, you sent the Holy Spirit and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues. And when you came, Holy Spirit, into the earth, in that way, you have not left. We don't have to call you down from heaven, for you are here in our midst. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus for those that are desiring a greater and a more flourishing walk with you. They're desiring a zeal and a passion for the things of God, that fire of God within. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit and baptize them in the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus right now. I pray that, Lord, you would fill them to overflowing, Lord, that they would begin to speak in other tongues, that, Lord, they would begin to sense such a fire within, that they would have a greater desire to pray, to read the Word, to tell others about Jesus, that the reality of this walk with you would become more real, that, Lord, it would be something that is so desirous that we can't help but want more of you. Lord, set us on fire, I pray. Begin with me, I ask. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Holy Spirit, move within our midst. Show us that you are real. I pray that you would move upon our young people, our children, that, Lord, there would be such a fire of God that would begin to burn in this church, that, Lord God, it would draw the people to yourself. We pray that that fire would burn so bright that Jesus would be exalted in our midst. And as you've promised, that if He would be exalted, you would draw all men to yourself. We lift up on high the name of Jesus. No other name will be exalted. But we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would exalt His name through us, O God. Do a work here, we pray. And I do pray, Lord, for our loved ones that don't know you yet, Lord, that they would understand through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you said clearly that he would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Lord, you are going to thoroughly cleanse and purge this floor, talking about the earth. And Lord, you are separating a people unto yourself. You are calling their name. Help them to hear your voice and respond. Help them, Lord God, to forsake their worldly ways, to forsake those things that bind them, to get up and to begin to go and move towards you. If that means coming to this church, whether they realize it or not, you're bringing them here. Lord, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not about this church. It's not about the assemblies of God. It's about you drawing a people to yourself. Lord, we pray that you would save our lost loved ones. Save them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow through this community and center in Saguache County, Lord God, in Del Norte, in the San Luis Valley. Lord, let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow through the alleyways, blow underneath the bridges, oh God, where the people are, whether they're lost in sin or even working, Lord God, in a good job, in a high class way. Move in the name of Jesus, we pray, and save many souls. Lord, we pray for the reality of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Baptize us, oh God, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Lord, let the people begin to watch us burn for the things of God, we pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing here, and we commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.